Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue to analyze Christ's upper room discourse, and particularly this contrast between the physical presence of Christ and the promised spiritual presence of the Holy Spirit that Christ talks about all throughout the upper room discourse, and particularly in chapter 16, which is summarized, I think, in verse 7, where he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." And I have been, ruminating this on this text for quite a bit the last few days, just analyzing and thinking about the contrast between physical perception and spiritual perception and the physical presence of Christ and what that meant to the disciples, and the spiritual presence of the Holy Spirit and what that means to believers today, and the way that spiritual truth does come to us through our physical senses, and yet it must be more than that. The Holy Spirit must make it more than that if it's going to benefit our soul. That which only stimulates our physical senses has no benefit to our spiritual man. That which goes beyond the physical senses, it is first received by the physical senses, but then by the application of the Holy Spirit is made real to our soul, which is something beyond the physical, that benefits the soul. It is true that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means that man needs not only physical food for his body, but he needs spiritual food for his soul. It is also true that the physical food for the soul is first delivered to us in a way that our physical senses must receive. We have to hear the sermon. We have to read the pages of the Bible. We have to see something with our eyes. We have to hear something with our ears. But it must go beyond that, and if it doesn't go beyond that, it becomes nothing more than what? Entertainment? Or study? It's something that only pertains to the physical man. It doesn't do anything for the spiritual man. And I'm afraid that a lot of what we have in Christianity today is geared to the physical, to the sensual, if I could put it that way. And I don't mean sensual in the degrading sense, but I just mean the emphasis is upon the senses, and in such a way that I'm afraid it actually hinders the operation of the Holy Spirit in bringing that truth to the spiritual level. Here's where, I guess, the debate is, and here's where the competing ideas come in. And I guess we just have to analyze them and come to some conclusions as to what we think is the right way. But it seems to me that if you insist on emphasizing the sensual, you are in danger of blocking the spiritual. And that's my whole point here. Now, let me pause for a minute in these rather wide-ranging deliberations and welcome you to the Thursday, February 20 edition of the Beacon broadcast. And secondly, let me thank you for helping us, those of you who who help us financially for supporting this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Now, the problem is that when we overemphasize the senses, I'm afraid that what we're doing is displaying the same attitude that the disciples had when Christ said that he was going to depart from them and send the Holy Spirit to them in his place. And they were saying, in effect, no, we can't stand that. We don't like that. We don't want that. That won't do. That won't work. That won't satisfy us. Now, of course, in the case of the disciples, you might as well put it this way, it didn't matter whether they liked it or not. Christ is going to do what he's going to do. He's just telling them what he's going to do, and he's telling them it's for their benefit. John 16:7 again, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so Christ told them like it is, you know, this is the way it is, fellas. I'm not asking for you to vote on this. I'm not asking you to give your approval on it. It would be to your benefit for you to do that. I do want you to come to the place where you understand and approve of what I'm doing. But frankly, whether you do or don't is really beside the point here. This is the program. This is what's going to take place. I'm going to leave, and that's going to remove God from your presence in a way that relates so much to your five senses. And I'm going to go back to heaven, and then according to the program of God, which has been in place, fellas, since before the world was ever created, but now comes the time when I send the Holy Spirit unto you, and he's going to come and minister to you in what will actually be a more effective way. That's the program, fellas. So understand that, and please trust me. If you have trouble understanding this now, just please trust me that whatever I do is best. It's for your good. It is better. I'm telling you that this is better. You may have difficulty understanding that now, but please believe it. Please help yourself by believing it. Please honor me by believing it. Please believe what I tell you, because it is true, and you will see it all eventually, but you always make things more difficult for yourself by resisting what God reveals. Whenever you resist divine truth, you hurt yourself and others in the process. So don't do that. Get over it. Accept this by faith. Grow. You'll come to understand and appreciate this better later. You'll come to understand and appreciate this sooner if you accept it than if you fight against it. If you just will not accept this, will not hear of this, and then pout when it doesn't go your way, stop your ear, so to speak. I'm just not going to hear about your departure, Lord. I just won't hear of it. I'm just not going to hear about the coming of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that being better. That just doesn't please me, and I'm not going to hear about it. And, oh, you did it anyway, even knowing it wasn't pleasing me? Well, I'm just going to have a pouty party, and I'm just not going to cooperate with this. That's the way I think a lot of Christians are in regard to a lot of divine truth. And what does that do? Well, it certainly dishonors the Lord. You're not honoring the Lord by disbelieving what he says. You're not honoring the Lord by refusing to trust him to know what's best. Boy, this is just really carnality to the nth degree. But you're also hurting yourself. You know, you're hurting yourself. You know, your first concern ought to be to honor the Lord, but beyond that, you ought to be interested in doing those things that God has designed for your spiritual well-being. But you're hurting yourself when you do this, and you're hurting others. You're hurting people who are in your sphere of influence, people, your family, your loved ones, people who know you, people who are in church with you. You're hurting them by acting this way, in this childish, pouty way. Stop it for your own benefit. Stop it for the benefit of others, and stop it, most of all, for the honor and glory of God. This dishonors the Lord when you demonstrate such a distrust of him, as if he isn't wise enough to know what's best, that he doesn't really know the end from the beginning. He doesn't really know what's best for you, that you know better what's for you than he does. That's highly dishonoring to the Lord. Who do you think he is? You think he's just another man like yourself? Maybe just a little bit wiser, just a little bit stronger, just a little bit more holy, but not really much more, just a little step, a little degree, like we sometimes view the authorities in our life. Like young people view their parents. They don't like to follow the wisdom of their parents because it doesn't please them. And many times their attitude is, well, a lot of times their attitude is, I know more than my parents. Well, that's real rebellion, real pride, real carnality. I mean, that's really bad. But sometimes Christian parents, Christian young people, will come to a place where they will acknowledge, yes, my parents are wiser than me. I recognize that, but that doesn't mean they have all wisdom. Maybe they've got it wrong in this case. And maybe they do. We recognize that that's possible, isn't it, with human parents? Human parents aren't perfect. So thoughts like that of other men who are perhaps a little older, a little wiser, a little more mature, a little beyond us, nevertheless, doesn't mean we give them unquestioned allegiance because they are men. Good men at the best, but nevertheless, at the best, they're still men, fallible. So we don't give to them our full allegiance. If we're wise, we always hold back. We always maintain our highest allegiance for God. We withhold our highest allegiance to God. No man, no matter who he is, claims that highest allegiance. It always goes to God. But when we're talking about God, there's no reserve. There's no holding back. We dishonor him when we treat him like he's another man. We dishonor him when we treat him like he doesn't know what's best. We dishonor him when we think that maybe he's got it wrong this time. Now, we wouldn't say that. We would never say that. But our attitudes betray that we're thinking that, even if we couldn't articulate it, even if we wouldn't articulate it, and even if we couldn't articulate it, that's still what's lurking in the back of our deceitful hearts. And remember, even believers have hearts that are capable of deceiving them. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And how dishonoring we are to God when we act as if he's just another man, a good man, a great man, a wise man, a strong man, but nevertheless just another man, and maybe he's got it wrong this time. He has it right most of the time, but maybe this time he's got it wrong. Stop it. Stop dishonoring the God of heaven that way. Stop dishonoring the omnipotent, omniscient, glorious God that way. Yield to him your full allegiance and make it clear that you believe that he knows what's best and trust him. Bow before him. Yield to him. Show him your love and allegiance by accepting what he says as being best and demonstrating that in your life from day to day. And it takes, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to do that. And I pray that God, by his grace, will work that in each of our hearts. Until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.